We continue with Surah Al-Hujurat. Now, as you are aware, that Surah Al-Hujurat deals with various issues relating to the development of the character. Into verse number 6, there was an incident that had occurred. Allama ibn Kathir is reported, and it's taken from Musnad ibn Ahmad, that Harith ibn Dhirar ibn Abi Dhirar, he was the leader of the Banu Mustalik tribe, whose daughter Sayyida Juwayriya radiallahu anha was one of the blessed wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came from that tribe. And this leader came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him towards Islam, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that he has to pay zakat. And he said, I embrace Islam, and I pledge to pay zakat. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, now you go back to your people and inform them about this payment of zakat. And those who have accepted Islam, they must pay this compulsory zakat. And he said that, I will collect it. And then he requested that on a designated date, in a certain month, a collector be sent to him, and that the zakat will be handed over to the collector. And accordingly, when Haris had collected the zakat from the believers, and the zakat collector did not arrive on the designated date, or even long after that, he feared that may have been the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was displeased with him for some reason or the other, and it was unlikely that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not keep his promise. And Haris experienced his apprehension at this moment, and he expressed it to other leaders of the new Muslims, and they said, let's go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and clarify the matter. On the other hand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent Walid bin Uqba to collect the zakat from them. However, on his way, he thought about the fact that members of the tribe are his old enemies, and he feared that they may kill him. With this fear, he returned to Medina and he said, O Nabi Allah, they refused to pay zakat and wanted to kill me. And on hearing this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very angry. And under the command of Khalid bin Walid, he dispatched a force of fighters in the path of Allah. And on the way, this contingent was dispatched. And on the other hand, Harith bin Dhirar were these people on his way to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine? Here's the one coming, and on the other end, the other is coming. So the two groups met near Medina. And Harith said, to whom have you been sent? And they said, we've been sent to you. And Harith inquired, but for what? And then they narrated that Walid bin Uqba was reported to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the tribe of Banu Mustalik refused to pay zakat and planned to kill him. And Harith said, I swear by Allah, we sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a true messenger. Walid didn't even arrive near our location. I haven't even seen him. And since no envoy had come to us, that is why we are coming. I feared that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was annoyed with me, and therefore I came in. I'm going to him to see this. And Harith said these words to Azul Khalid, and the entire situation was resolved. It may have been that they were waiting on the outskirts, waiting for, and he thought that they were waiting to kill him. This is what led to the verses being revealed, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, in ja'akum bifasiq, in ja'akum fasiqun. Oh, those believe, if a sinner or a sinful person brings to you a report, verify its correctness. فَتَبَيَّنُوا verify, and تُسِقْبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةً lest you harm a people out of ignorance. Then you become remorseful on what you did. Lest you harm some people in your ignorance. And then what will happen? You'll become remorseful of what you did. فَتُسِيبَ قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةً فَتُسْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. And with this verse, it outlined that you cannot take steps without appropriate measures being taken. When you assume things, this can lead to great problems. And it is on this verse that it may be ruled that if a mischief monger, sinner, a wicked or corrupt person complains about any person or nation or accuses them of wrongdoing, it's not lawful to act upon that on the sole information of that evidence that was brought. And Imam Jassas, in his book Ahkamul Quran, has stated that this verse indicates that it's not lawful to accept any information conveyed by a sinful person and act upon it unless it is investigated by other sources and confirmed. And this verse has the instruction, fatabayyanu, verify its correctness. In other words, and another narration, fatathabbatu, do not rush into taking actions and measures. You need to be stable, be emotionally balanced. Don't be easily moved or shaken. Wait until the news is confirmed by other independent sources, and then only do you go ahead and accept it. And this is very important in the various facets of our lives. In the social media world that we live in a world in which there's so much information, and we don't know what is correct and what is incorrect, it's difficult for us to ascertain what is correct and what is incorrect. Remain firm. Fatathabbatu. Remain emotionally balanced. Don't get moved. Don't act on emotion and vindicate yourself on emotion, that when your emotions are flared up, then you act immediately. Rather, wait, investigate matters, and only once you've clearly ascertained what is the reality of a story, then you get to the bottom of it. So, in terms of the academic aspect to this, according to a majority of the scholars, a statement or evidence of an ungodly person in terms of the Sharia is not acceptable. That when you have someone who is considered as a fasik, that person's good deed or that person's testimony will not be accepted, and that is part of what we gain from this verse of the Noble Quran. So the lesson from verse number 6 is verify before you amplify. That is what we learn from this verse. We also need to look at how this affects us in our daily lives. And then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to outline other aspects of deen, other aspects of social conduct that one needs to be resolute, one needs to be firm with regards to, and that has been outlined in the coming verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, that know that among you is the Messenger of Allah. أَلَّوْ يُطِيُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ, that if he were to obey you in many matters, لَعَنِتُمْ, you will certainly fall into hardship. Because everyone's trying to sway Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in their way and to have him act in their favor. But Allah is the one who inspires him in his actions. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُقَ وَالْعِصْيَانِ, it is Allah that has endeared to you the faith, the belief, and caused it to look beautiful in your hearts and made detestable to you disbelief and sins and disobedience. And those who are in that condition, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ, they are the guided ones. These are the bounties of your Lord. And Allah knows, He's all-knowing, all-wise. So important messages from Surah Al-Hujurat about not only our character development, but also developing our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.